we have to be intentional in our society. We have to think about how we want to bring outside into the daily rhythms. We're just more of an indoor culture. We've got screens to help entertain us and teach us. We've got all kinds of books to read and Legos to play with. It's now become something we have to be thoughtful about. It's so hard for moms just to wrap their brain around getting outside. It's like, well, now I have one more thing I need to be adding to my to-do list. And really, I think what I want to encourage is this is actually something that creates a home culture for everyone. It's good for everyone. It actually adds more life and vitality to your day when you're outside.
My name is Lisa, mother of seven and creator of the blog and YouTube channel Farmhouse on Boone. Join me as I share with you my love for creating a handmade home from scratch cooking and a little mom and entrepreneur life along the way.
Welcome back to the Simple Farmhouse Life podcast. Today we're going to be talking about a subject that we hit on this podcast a lot, and that is getting kids outside. How to do it, practicality of it, why it's important. I always love chatting about this, and today I'm going to discuss it with Joy Cherick of Nature Study Hacking. So let's dive in. All right, well, thank you so much, Joy, for joining me on here. I was taking a look at your website, and we're going to talk about getting kids outside, but you have all of these guides like insects, mammals, trees, weather. So it's more than even just getting kids outside. It's also taking advantage of the learning opportunities when they're out there. So let's dive in. Tell us about your family, your mission, and yeah, just a little bit about yourself.
Yeah. So I homeschool our seven children. My oldest is 13, almost 14. And I've got all the way down to a one-year-old. He's almost two. I'm like holding on to that last little bit of babiness.
Yes.
and I realized a few years ago that it's really hard for families when they are trying to learn how to do nature study as part of their homeschool. Most of us start off not really knowing what the name of the tree is that's in our yard or what the name of the weeds are just around us. You know, we're just really not sure about all of those things. So I started going through the Handbook of Nature Study, which is this like very thick tome that a lot of the homeschoolers love to use. And it's like, nobody knows how to use it. So I use that as my spine, and it has a section each of mammals, insects, all of that. So I pulled from that knowledge from, you know, 100 years ago and made it in small little bite-sized chunks so that we can experience that same wisdom, but it's in like, okay, now we're going to learn about a tree. We're going to study one tree. And it's just really easy for a homeschool mom who's sitting at the kitchen table with her children and toddlers all around to just open the book and figure out, okay, what should I learn about today? And then how should they use those nature journals that I feel like are kind of this mystery? It's like, but how do you get them to draw in it is always the question. So this is kind of that bridge.
Yeah. No, that's helpful because I remember whenever my daughter was like, I was one of those people that now I'm like, oh my word, you know, so overly ambitious before even starting and reading all of the Charlotte Mason books when she was three. And, you know, I'm a homeschooler and, you know, obviously it's just a whole different thing. And thinking, okay, we're going to do these nature studies. We're going to do these nature notebooks and journals. And it, yeah, like I did feel like it was easier, especially with one child or two, and then it became harder and harder to practice with the way that it was all set up. I'm like, I think Charlotte Mason might have been educating more one-on-one or something. I don't know. But yeah, so I really do appreciate the simplicity that you like to outline. So
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun. And I think that just getting families outside is such a nourishing thing for everyone. It's good for mom. It's good for the kids. It's good for the baby. You know, everybody can benefit. And it really creates a fun family culture of being outside regularly because that can really help us just have a place to go when we need to relax and getting to learn more about God's world in a more human way.
Yeah. And it really does reduce stress. Anytime I'm outside, I was actually outside all morning with my kids, and typically I'm more inside because I have so much stuff to do inside, But Luke had to go run several errands. And so I was home with all the youngest five. And the only way to really do all the little kids is to have them outside, in my opinion. Otherwise, it's like, you know, you're just cleaning up after them. So it makes complete sense. So let's talk about that. What's the importance of outside time for children? And why does this become your mission?
Yeah. So it is so important because I think we have to be intentional in our society. We have to think about how we want to bring outside into the daily rhythms because we're just more of an indoor culture. We've got screens to help entertain us and teach us. We've got all kinds of books to read and Legos to play with. And so it's now become something we have to be thoughtful about. Whereas 100 years ago, and even, you know, kind of the mid 1800s before the Industrial Revolution brought everybody into cities, everyone was just outside all the time. I mean, they would just, you could have a family with 8 children and they would have this tiny little house. And the way they managed was the kids were outside all the time. They mm-hmm. were in the garden. They were messing around, you know, helping with the goats or the cows, or, you know, you read Farmer Boy or you read The Little House on the Prairie. And they really did have, except in the wintertime, really an outdoor life. And they actually lived without air conditioning. So just that idea of, oh man, you know, how do we do this? So seeing that, it's so hard for moms just to wrap their brain around getting outside. It's like, well, now I have one more thing I need to be adding to my to-do list. And really, I think mm-hmm. what I want to encourage is this is actually something that creates an just, again, a home culture for everyone. It's good for everyone. It actually adds more life and vitality to your day when you're outside. And then it helps you just live more fully. It's not something to check off. It's a way that we love our children. It's how we share with them the beauty of God's world. We don't want to impoverish them by having them never encounter those things, never get dirty, never get wet, never play in the rain. Like, we want them to experience that full life. So that's why the Screen-Free Kids Get Outside Challenge, why I created it, was to give some families tools on how to bridge the gap between, okay, we're on the screens all the time, and the average American child is on the screen 4 hours a day, and the average teenager is on screens for 9 hours a day. Holy so moly. Obviously,
we don't even come close to that.
Well, but to understand that's the average, then you start to go, okay, so
yeah,
there's a culture that doesn't understand really how to do our leisure. Like, how are we, what does our downtime look like? Mm-hmm. So I'd love to hear, you know, it sounded like you had some great ideas for getting your kids out as well. And they had some projects that they were working on.
Well, so I will say, and this is something you might run into as far as if you educate people on this, getting this question a lot, but I will say that where we live right now, so we moved to a little homestead about 4 years ago. We have double fencing around it because we fenced in the entire yard area, and then around that for the cow pasture. So we have this very, very easy to send kids, even if we can't go out, at least the older kids. I'll never send the 18-month-old out by himself, obviously. That's always the one that has to just stay with me. If I'm inside, then we're, you know, he's at my feet while I'm baking or whatever. But we've have this place right now that it is very easy. There's no pool or pond. It's all fenced. It's easy to let kids play for all hours of the day. I mean, we can like send them out first thing in the morning. Whereas our last house, it was something where I had to always go outside with them, even when they're older, like 8 or 9. We had a public park next door. And so I'm like, well, somebody could just be like right here and take them. So It was scarier. Right. And then my challenge is, you know, I need to get the laundry done. I need to get something in the oven for lunch. And there are, of course, easier things that you can get going. Like, if I want to spend all morning outside, which we do, I can get a roast going at 8:30 a.m. and a chicken in the oven or some potatoes and just let stuff that's very hands-off go so that I don't have to be in there making food all morning. But yeah, I think that the location can sometimes be a challenge. So do you recommend for people who live in a subdivision going over to a park? Yeah. You know, it requires a lot more effort than just stepping outside.
Yeah. So Charlotte Mason was talking to people who did live in cities, and Londoners, they have all of these like outdoor spaces just in their area that are easier to get to. So we just have to be really intentional, but I think we can draw from the past and some of the things that people would do. And I think is a really great option is just take our meals outside, eat breakfast on the patio, have a picnic lunch. You know, these are just a really easy family culture way to do things where it's just part of the rhythm. We're just going to try to be intentional to get, you know, this meal. You know, right now we can't do it because we've been raining the last 4 days, but you know, we're definitely going to, as soon as the weather clears up, our garden is going crazy. It's awesome.
Where are you located?
I'm in Tennessee.
Okay.
Southeastern Tennessee.
We should get some, we're just
I know. It should be coming your way.
Okay. No, we don't get any rain ever. Like for the last like 3 months.
So hard. You're probably just out there. But, well, that's another thing is keeping a garden. Even if it's a small, we lived in a rental for our whole marriage. So this is the first house we've purchased since being married for 17 years. So the last home we lived in was like, I would call it an uninspiring subdivision. And I just finally had to go, you know what? I'm just going to plant a garden. I'm going to pick a little spot and buy some mushroom compost and make this little spot like a healthy place to grow something. And even just if it's wildflowers, you know, they get those little dollar store flower packets, or beans grow really easily. Cucumbers can grow almost anywhere, you know, something like that, where you're getting outside, you're checking on it each day. That can be a really fun activity with children because then they're wanting to go out, they're wanting to water it, especially if you're in a drought, that becomes helpful. And then it also pulls you outside. Mom, there's a flower on it. You know, now it's starting to get, you know, the little cucumber thing. And then they start to develop a relationship with nature, which is kind of part of the point, is we want them to have memories that are filled with God's world and allow them to create experiences that will shape them in their adult life. There was this study that came out, I don't know, several years ago, and it was talking about MIT and they had some employers that were hiring from their school that they were really unhappy with. And they changed their entire process for finding students because the people that were hiring, you know, their graduates were not happy. And what they found was children who had more free play as young people were actually better candidates because they actually could understand how a pump worked, or they had manipulated different natural things themselves. You know, when kids go out and they just bang on stuff and they just do it over and over and over again until they can master whatever the thing is. And, or that, you know, they'll rip the bark off of a tree and then you start to see it splinter and you start to get the fibers in there. So those types of things actually build up their experiences so that they're able to have, well, in this case, like they're more useful to an employer because they don't have to explain, you know, what a pump is or what a fiber is. Like they already intrinsically understand those things.
Yeah. Yep. Right, taking a break from this episode to tell you about one of my favorite sponsors, Azure Standard. So as we learn to cook from scratch in our kitchens, whether that is sourdough or soaking grains or finding high quality meats and raw cheeses, sometimes it can be really difficult to source those things. I know in my area, I can find a lot of those things, but they're at the grocery store. That's a lot more expensive. If I want a little block of raw cheese, I'm going to be paying quite a bit for it. Azure Standard works like a co-op where a bunch of like-minded individuals basically pull together an order and get it for a price that you can't find for these high-quality things by skipping the middleman. So you can go over to azurestandard.com and find a drop location that is near you. I know where I live, there are two within a 30-mile or 30-minute radius that I can get to pretty easily. You can also start a drop location in your area if that's something you and a couple friends are wanting to figure out how you can get high-quality foods right to your area. You can pull together and start your own Azure Drop. I actually almost did that here in my own town, and I decided that I'd really rather drive a half hour once a month for the Azure Drop and not have to manage a drop here. But either way, produce, quality meat, grains, we even get our animal feed. So we have a dairy cow, which is wonderful because we're able to source all this raw dairy. However, finding quality feed at our local feed store is near impossible. So we get a lot of our cow feed, our chicken feed from Azure Standard as well. I've done a few Azure Standard hauls over on my Farmhouse on Boone YouTube channel. So if you're curious about the other things that I have found and am loving in my kitchen, I stock up on flour from Azure Standard. You can check out one of those. You can just search on YouTube, Farmhouse on Boone, Azure Standard. Azure Standard is offering Simple Farmhouse Life listeners 10% off your order. So if this is something that you want to investigate in, poke around on the website, see if there's not something on there that you might already be getting locally but is really too expensive, or something that you can't find at all. You see these videos of people who say, hey, get this, and then you're like, but where do I even find that in my little town? Check it out on there. Use the code SIMPLESUMMER10. They're offering 10% off your order over at azurestandard.com. Find a drop in your location. Again, use the code SIMPLESUMMER10. And my favorite thing about giving kids unstructured playtime is just the having to figure out what to do to fill your time, and not that being just a for granted thing. Like, you have to actually, in each moment of the day, figure out what you're going to do to make either yourself entertained or productive or whatever it is that makes you feel good. My kids, yeah, they have to do it all the time. So this morning we have just a little kiddie pool thing that, you know, I thought about getting a tank pool this year, but then I worried that Thea would slip out and get into
the 18-month-old.
So, yeah.
Totally.
Yeah, it's always the 18-month-old.
I feel you.
Yeah, it's like everybody else would be fine with the tank pool, but I'm worried he would get in it. So anyways, we have a little kiddie pool, and, you know, I told the kids, like, we have to be outside today. Like, I can see them from the window while I'm making lunch, so I did come in some with the baby. But before you know it, they're making a sign that said lifeguard. They had a whistle. They had a concession stand. They had a sign that said 50 cents for a peanut butter sandwich. Like, they just, you know, they got to do something, because for the 10-year-old out there, the little kiddie pool isn't exciting. So he has to find a way to make it exciting for him. And that is to, like, he right. owns this pool and all the kids are coming to it. And they always figure out something. They never just stay bored. Like, they don't, I think, well, that's one of the questions. One of the questions is, what tips do you have for parents to overcome the challenges and resistance from children when transitioning to this? And I think probably for a while, they won't know what to do with that time. And so they might just stand at the door and be like, what do I do? And then after a while, they're like, well, I got to right. figure out something, and I'll come up with something. What do I see? What are my raw materials? What can I do here?
Right. So often when my kids come up to me with that same, you know, whoa, it's like, if you can allow that space, a lot of parents, I think, feel like they need to solve the problem immediately for the child, but that's actually where the learning is going to happen, is when they are able to feel that pain of, oh, I don't know what to do. And if we don't jump in too quickly, if we allow them that time to think through and have their own thoughts, you know, sometimes I'll give them some options, you know, go play with the sand. You can go play in your treehouse. You can go mess around with the pulley system, or, you know, go build some sticks go build a fort with some sticks. You know, then they can sometimes they'll just go off and do one of the things I suggested. But it might even be better if I just said, you're just going to have to figure it out. And I know that you can, you know, kind of that putting it back on them, for them to start thinking through how they want to be spending their time, because that is such an important skill for us as, like, functioning humans, mm-hmm. so that they can be thinking their own thoughts and starting to really start to
live more deeply in the world instead of just reacting to anything, any stimulus that comes their way.
I take great care in my home to source products that are healthy, natural, organic, that will promote overall health. Alongside cooking from scratch, there are some foundational things like clean water and clean air that are as important as any of these other things. Americans take about 20,000 breaths per day and spend an average of 90% of their time indoors. My kids, they spend a ton of time outside, but I spend a lot of time inside cooking. I try to keep the window open, but still, the indoor air that we breathe can be up to 100 times more polluted than outdoor air, according to the EPA. Indoor air pollutants can cause respiratory symptoms like sneezing, congestion, scratchy throat, and even more serious health problems like lung and heart disease. So what is the solution for this? I want to tell you about this podcast sponsor, Air Doctor, the air purifier that filters out 99.99% of dangerous contaminants so your lungs don't have to. This includes allergens, pollen, pet dander, dust mites, mold spores, and even bacteria and viruses. We have an indoor cat, we have pollen, and who knows what else around our house. So this just gives me peace of mind knowing that running Air Doctor will get rid of 99.99% of dangerous contaminants. Air Doctor comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, so if you don't love it, just send it back for a refund minus shipping. Head to airdoctorpro.com and use promo code Farmhouse and you'll receive up to $300 off air purifiers. Exclusive to podcast customers, you will also receive a free 3-year warranty on any unit, which is an additional $84 value. Lock this special offer by going to airdoctorpro.com and use promo code Farmhouse.
Yeah, it's definitely a whole different skill set to live in a world that hasn't been structured with A, B, C, D all day long. That's something that I learned later was, okay, what do I do with just a wide open day? That was like, that's taken me 15 years to feel like I really know what to do now with a wide open day, because there, you know, for most of my life, there was very much exactly like what I was doing was pretty laid out. And so I didn't necessarily know like what to do with just a day.
I do. You know? Yeah. I think that that's kind of that entrepreneurial mindset that a mother has to enter into when she starts to decide to stay home. And that is a little bit intimidating for those of us who grew up going to public school and just got kind of shuttled through a system. And then you're kind of left and you go, oh, everything's open. I could actually do whatever I want. But then we kind of can look at, but what is my time for? And what ought I be doing now? And to wrestle with those questions and to really go, okay, my time is actually not for myself. I'm blessed so that I can be a blessing. So it really moves it from what do I want to do to how can I serve and how can I contribute and what can I do to, you know, because a lot of times you'll see with children and their play is that they're making something that's bigger than themselves. It's, I'm going to, you know, we're going to go have a Nerf gun war. Well, it's like, okay, because we want to, you know, we want to get into, you know, kind of war tactics. Oh, like that's not something that is in them. They're looking at that inspiring idea of, you know, how to hide and how to not get caught and those kinds of things. My kids love archery. So they go outside and they will just, I mean, for quite a while, you know, just over and over and over again. Well, the inspiring idea for that was a little bit of Robin Hood and of course, Lord of the Rings, one of the main characters, he's an archer. So there's, you know, they're kind of wanting to get into those worlds, but it's again, pulling them outside of themselves and helping them really move and live and join with others who've gone before them in some of these kind of heroic exploits like Nerf gun wars.
Nerf. Yeah.
What were some of the other questions we had?
Okay. So a lot of people want to know what to do instead of screen time. So this question specifically says, how do you cook dinner during the witching hours with littles without using screen time? And I would say to that, like my biggest key is containment. So really the other kids can run around the house. If you want them in the house, say you live by a busy road or something, they can run around the house and be just fine. But like, again, that 18-month-old has to be by me. I might put him in his high chair with some raspberries, or we have French doors in our kitchen, which is really nice. So I might just trap him in the kitchen and he can just run around and do whatever in the kitchen. You know, he doesn't necessarily have to, they can just go around the house being bored too. Like that is something that you can do. I think we always think, well, what do you do with them? I mean, when I'm cooking, nothing. I can't do anything with them, but they don't also have to be watching, you know, doing screen time. It's okay if they're just bored around the house.
Right. Totally. Yes. I 100% agree. You know, and as they do get older, I enjoy, especially like my 3-year-old, 4-year-old, bringing them in and giving them something to cut or something to do. They love to pour in the spaghetti sauce or mix something or pour in the noodles or help, you know, even, you know, give them a little piece of bread that they can knead so that they are a part of the workings of the home. Because I think what we have lost is this idea that children are a part of a productive home. Mm-hmm. And of course you get that on a homestead, and with, of course, a larger family, there's always something like chores and food and laundry that needs to be done. But if we can look at those things as part of a living, breathing, vital home, instead of just, it's an annoying task that has to be done, and then invite them into those things. And like, we've started singing folk songs when we clean up after breakfast because everybody was starting to devolve into complaining. Mm-hmm. So, you know, trying to flip the script and be like, you know what, this is going to be a joyful time. And I want these memories of our cleaning or doing laundry to be enjoyable. Like, this is part of our family culture, is that we're doing this together, and I want you to know how to have this skill so that when you leave the house, you know how to fold laundry, you know how to turn on a washing machine, certainly, and that you can, again, be a blessing to others as you go out into the world and not feel like everybody's, you know, needing to do something for me. And I think that starts in those teeny tiny years. You know, even my little one, I've probably been baby wearing him on my back for the last year during dinner prep, because he would wake up from his nap and just need to be held for an hour. And it was like, all right, man.
Yeah. Yeah. And that, yes. If they're, if it's the baby and they're cranky, then yes.
Yeah. But just, I still need to cook dinner and I can't hold you. So this is what we're doing now.
Yeah. Yes. That, again, it's always, to me, it's always that 1 to 2 year old that's the challenge. The rest of them, you know, they can run around the house, they can be bored, they can do who knows what, hopefully not making a huge mess. That's always sort of the challenge, which is why I would rather, even in the winter, put on a coat and make the older ones just go outside. It'd be my preference.
Yeah.
Yeah. But then like Luke says, well, they always leave an outside mess too. I'm like, I know. It just, you know, if you're not doing the screen, you're going to deal with some more messes, which I always say, my solution for that is just, if you have less things that they can pull out of places, whether that's out of the barn for outdoor spaces or toys or blankets or whatever else inside, I like to keep it to where they can't actually, you know, even with not watching them 100% of the time, like not destroy the place, because you're either going to be trading off a screen time or a mess or hopefully less mess if you're a little more decluttered. That's what I've found.
Totally. Well, one of the things too with screens is trying to look at our own attitudes about screens. You know, what are our habits when we're around our children? How often are we picking up that phone and just typing out a quick text or checking, you know, whatever it is to check on the screen? And what I'm finding is that the more I'm mindful of that and how it impacts the atmosphere of our home, the more I'm starting to realize, oh, okay, well, like I took some apps off my phone because they weren't helping me be present with my children, which is what we want, because then they will get outside more frequently. Then I won't feel like I need to just give them something to pacify them. I'm going to engage with them just and be more present. And,
you know, what are the habits? What are the routines? And that's actually why I created I created a guide to go along with the Screen Free Kids Challenge. And the guide is for mothers. It's a guide to the outdoor life of children. And it's for moms to just kind of reflect on their own habits and look at what is their attitude about screens? Do they kind of see it as a tool that can kind of be quieted at other times of day when it's not being used? Or do they see it as something that's always drawing them to, oh yeah, let's go put that on? Or, okay, you know, are they using it that way? Or, you know, what are the life-giving ideas that they're bringing into the home that will inspire the kids to go outside, even if it's a book? That often, I'll read a book to my kids and then they'll want to go try the thing. And, you know, beware of Calvin and Hobbes. He's got all kinds of ideas that, you know, you may not want your kids to duplicate. But actually, one of my kids, speaking of Calvin, he said that Calvin, you know, he puts a book or a bucket of water on top of the door and lets it drop on his father's head or mom. Well, he does that in some of the comic strips. And my son said he loved that idea, but he wanted to do it with a pillow so that it wouldn't hurt his brother. And I appreciated that he took it. He had some fun with it, but in a way that was not going to damage the carpet.
That's very nice. Now remind me, what is your girl and boy split?
Oh yeah. So I have my oldest is a girl, and then I've got three boys in a row, and then two girls, and then the youngest is a boy.
Okay. Gotcha. Wow.
Because you've got an oldest girl, and then do you have boys in a row, or how is yours?
Yeah. I have two girls, and then now it'll be six boys in a row.
And then six boys in a row. Oh, yeah. Fun. Okay. So at least you've got the girls on that end that are partners.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. I'm finding that's it's helpful. Just, it's hard to kind of remember kind of going back from girl, boy. It's like, wait, how do I do this again with a girl? Okay. Now how do I do it with a boy?
Yeah.
I feel like they're different worlds.
I know. I was telling my sister the other day, cause my son, he couldn't care less about me anymore. My 18-month-old, he's daddy's kid. And all he ever wants is dad. If dad walks out of the house, he's mad about it. And I'm like, did the girls do this too? And I'm like, I just don't remember because it's been, you know, 13 years since I had a baby girl. So we think they probably did, but we don't remember. It's just too long ago.
Yeah. Yeah. My son is doing the same thing. He's been totally into daddy since he turned 18 months old. So maybe it's a boy thing. I don't know.
I just don't remember. You've had a girl more recently.
Yeah. Yeah. They're so fun. I don't know. Well, they were so different. I don't know. Some of them are easy and some of them are hard.
Yeah.
So,
well, that's true. Taking a break from this episode to tell you about a sponsor that I have been loving for, I think, over a year now. And that is Tubes & Co. Tubes & Co. offers skincare products, cosmetics, that are made from high quality ingredients like grass-fed tallow. So many quality ingredients, nothing bad, no artificial dyes, preservatives, scents. You can trust that everything you get from them has quality ingredients, but then it's also such high quality stuff. In the past, I have had this issue with makeup where I want to look like I'm wearing makeup. I want to have the coverage on my skin, but then I also don't want any of the chemicals that will absorb into the skin. And so I feel like I have to choose between quality and health. And I finally have some makeup that I absolutely love, and that is from Tubes & Co. I've referred all of my friends and my family are constantly asking me, and we're all Tubes & Co. customers now. I have their liquid foundation. It is by far my favorite foundation I've ever tried, so I just ordered a new one. I love it. I have their mascara, again, quality, yet actually feel like I'm wearing regular mascara. And then I just now am trying their natural eyeliner, and I've also loved their brow pencil for the longest time. It has this angle on the end, so it makes it really easy, even if you're not a makeup artist, which I am not. And then a brush on one side, so if you need to fill in your eyebrows, it makes it very straightforward. I just this time, for the first time, tried their glow serum. I find that with my skin as I get older, if it's dry, the makeup just cakes on and looks horrible. But if I'm nice and moisturized, my skin looks more youthful. That glow serum is absolutely wonderful. Tubes & Co. is offering Simple Farmhouse Life listeners 10% off your order with the code FARMHOUSE. So this is a one-time use code. There are some things that you have been really wanting to try out that are natural yet still really effective and won't make you miss your favorite brands of cosmetics or skincare. Definitely also try the tallow balm. You should definitely try Tubes & Co. So head on over to Tubes & Co. That's TOUPS&CO.com and use the code FARMHOUSE to get 10% off your order and try out some wonderful, beautiful, natural and organic skincare. Okay, so let's see. Let's get into some more of these audience questions.
Yeah.
Any ideas for activities when the weather is rainy or if kids want to play inside because they say it's too hot when the temperatures rise in the summer?
Yeah, we lived in Arizona for 10 years.
Okay, now that's dangerous hot. Yes.
It was dangerously hot. And I actually also grew up in Florida, which I don't think it did get dangerously hot, but people would complain about the heat all the time. But mm-hmm. I spent every summer outside in jeans and a t-shirt because I rode horses and I would get dropped off in the morning and stay there all day. And we would just douse our heads in the hose and just move on. Mm-hmm. Like it was totally.
Yeah, if the clothes are wet, you're good.
Yeah, totally. And I actually enjoyed being sweaty because it would allow me to be cooler. But in Arizona, you know, some climates, it can get so dangerous. So often I'll just tell parents, you know, you can get outside in the morning. First thing, most places, if you can get outside before 10 or even before breakfast, that will allow you some, you know, an hour or two. And then you kind of treat it like winter is, you know, the indoor play, building fort blankets, Legos, board games, get the paint out, get a sand tray out, the kinetic sand. I don't know if you guys use those, but we have them in these little tubs. And then each child has their own tub with a lid on it. And then they can just pull it out, play with it. They've got their little plastic animals or wooden animals in there and just enjoy that. And then they can put it away. But there's all kinds of fun ideas or building with blocks, scarves. I mean, there's just a ton of stuff they can do. It's really, though, about what's the atmosphere that we're cultivating and what's our attitude about how they should be spending their time. And often, if we will take the time to help them get started on a new activity, then they are much more willing to engage with that. You know, if you've just been doing screens because it's hot and then it's another hot day, they're just going to expect that. Mm-hmm. So kind of stepping back and figuring out, well, what's the plan?
Yeah. And you mentioned extreme weather like Arizona, but in most climates, if you start making exceptions for every day that isn't between 60 and 80, you're not ever, like, that's what I'm kind of unwilling to do. I'm like, okay, if we can't get outside in Missouri in the summer, then what? We can't get outside in the winter. Right. We can't get outside in late spring, early fall. Right. I mean, we would hardly ever have weather that would be suitable to get outside. So we are willing to tolerate pretty, you know, broad temperature swings in order to get kids outside. I mean, here in the winter, we also, I mean, I live in Missouri. I live right in the middle of the country. So yes, we don't have anything very extreme. We don't have extreme winter. We don't have extreme summer. But I do think some people would consider 88 extreme to be outside. And I just don't. And all winter too.
No.
The kids, I mean, we do most our time outside, even in the winter. It is very rare that we're just hanging out inside. Those are days that you have to get through. They're so rare. I mean, it has to be below 20 degrees or even less. And it has to be maybe above 100.
I was going to say, let's define our terms. I'm with you. I'm below 20 degrees.
Yeah.
I'm starting to feel like
I'm 20 to 100.
I can't do that. And
if
then
it's 20 to 100.
100. Cool. Yeah. Well, 100 with humidity. Without humidity, you can probably go up to 105. And then
We don't have that here.
Anything
we've never had 105.
But if it's crazy. Well, just so that people can kind of, because so here, if you look at the heat index, people will also say, okay, 90, 95. I could see that starting to push it when it's really humid with a small child.
Yeah.
You know, I'll give you that grace. But for the most part, you know, there's that idea of there's no such thing as bad weather.
Yeah.
You know, we really just need to be properly dressed and also be willing to get a little sweaty, realize we're going to need to take a shower at the end of the day and know that like we've earned it.
Yeah. Yeah. I find the summer getting outside so much easier than the winter, even if it requires sprinklers and like anything to keep you cool. It's so much easier to me than getting outside when it's 20. I mean, we do it, but I don't love it. It's just so much easier in the summer.
Just because it's painful, just it's biting, and it's also not as inviting. Like it's not calling you out because everything's dead.
It's dead. Yeah. It's ugly. Exactly. It's not inviting. That's exactly it. It's the whole, like the trees are bare. There's no beautiful shadows. It's just brown. Yeah. And yeah, exactly. Like it's not really even exciting once you get out there.
Well, and if you are outside throughout the course of the year, you do start to notice the seasons change. And then you start to be more in touch with your community, with your neighborhood, with your, like where you live. And it is fun to start to watch in the spring, like try to look for the first bud, try to look for the first flower, try to look for the first bird to come back. Try to look for the first, we have daffodils here and I love trying to find the first one.
Yep, it's those like, are the first thing.
I guess it's like a game. And those types of things, just having a sense of those rhythms help us start to realize how big God is and how creative he is and how many things we just don't know. You know, I don't know. There's just a lot to learn.
Yeah.
So for instance, like if we're learning about trees, you know, we're just not going to learn all the names of the trees that ever were. No, just not a thing we should even figure out. But we could start to try to identify like families of trees. That's a maple. That's a oak. Mm-hmm. Okay, great. You know, at least we're moving forward in our understanding of how God made things.
Yeah. Yes. Okay. So have you ever had a newborn baby in the summer? We got a question about that. Getting outside with a newborn with baby wearing. I have all my babies except for one in the fall and the winter, and I'm due in July.
Oh.
So this is something that's pretty new to me.
Okay. Well, I've had two in July and one in August.
Okay.
And so baby wearing, I don't know. I tend to just be home for like at least the first 3 months of a baby's existence. And I just don't get out much. I don't know. I'm just like in bed and nursing and I don't want to leave. And the baby's just, they're just eating constantly. And I'm just getting like that postpartum kind of bloat. And I don't want to go out. I just want to nurse the baby and like have somebody feed me food. So I guess I can't help this person. Stay home.
Yeah. Okay. I don't know. I haven't really baby wore in the summer. Well, I say that, but then my third was born in March. And so that would have been, you know, April, May, June, July. He would have been only 4 months old. So prime baby wearing time in the summer. And I know I wore him constantly, so I must have wore him all summer. I guess I know I leave their feet kind of hanging out and they're like try to just get
and
like,
I keep him in a diaper. You know,
just put him in a diaper.
Yeah.
And have their arms.
And a little t-shirt, legs. I think.
Yeah. And then even you could just get yourself wet too. Like you could, you know, you could like spray yourself with the hose or something. I always think like, okay, if I spray myself with the hose and I'm wet, then I'm totally fine.
Yeah. I don't get outside though much with the baby at that early stage. I mean, I'll get him outside. Like we're sitting on the front porch, that kind of outside. And then I will go for a walk and I'll baby wear him
but not
on the
like
walk.
Big hikes. And...
But like, I'm not walking that much postpartum. So.
Yeah. One of my sisters has a 4 month old right now and she is using more like the Kinder pack as opposed to the Moby or the Sally baby, like the wraps. I think that would help too.
Okay. I have not experienced those. There's all these fun, the more children you have, the more fun things there are to learn about.
Yes. right, I want to take a break from this great conversation to tell you about today's podcast sponsor, Carly Jean Los Angeles. CJLA is an LA-based capsule clothing company started by Carly Brannon, a mom of four who wants to simplify the way women get dressed. So she offers on her site collections. There are these capsule wardrobe collections where you can just buy the whole thing, curated, ready to go for the upcoming season, so that when you reach into your closet, you can get dressed very easily without having to think about, does this go with this? Does this go with my style? What colors look good on me? It makes it very straightforward. I like to piece it together because everything on the website in a way is very curated. So I find certain dresses that I like, ones that will work for me through different seasons of life. So I currently am pregnant, almost due. I like things that will work for nursing, for postpartum, for pregnancy, and everything in between all of those life stages that I find myself in. I like that the clothes can be worn year after year. Usually I swap my clothes out in October and May. And I put the Carly Jean stuff in a bin under my bed so I can get it back out because I know that I'll like it year after year. I like the denim. My daughter likes the denim. CJLA has done the hunting for you, and they provide clothes that are effortless, easy, and flattering in all shapes, sizes, ages, and seasons of life. All CJLA basics are made right here in the U.S., so it's just great to support this small company in that way. Carly Jean Los Angeles is offering Simple Farmhouse Life listeners 20% off the entire site. It's a one-time use code. You can use the code FARMHOUSE20 over at CarlyJeanLosAngeles.com. Again, that's the code FARMHOUSE20. If you ever lose the link or the discount code, you can head over to SimpleFarmHouseLifePodcast.com, and then I have the sponsors at the bottom. It'll also, of course, all be linked down in the show notes or the description box. Again, thank you so much to Carly Jean Los Angeles for sponsoring today's episode. Okay, and then we can address this, just parents interacting with technology. We already touched on this a bit, but trying to be a good example for your kids. Now, one thing I will say is I feel like we do this thing where if we feel like we can't be perfect with it, then just, you know, whatever, give up. Like, the kids are going to have to be on screens all the time. And I find that no matter where I am on a continuum with this, and it is harder for adults because there are so many logistical things that we do have to have our phones for. And so, yes, we delete apps, mm-hmm. but then at some point the app comes yeah. back on the phone. How'd that get there? So right. I think if you do struggle with that a lot, that doesn't mean your kids also have to have that be their struggle. Like, they can, I can keep several of my kids, all of them, almost completely off screens. I do have, my daughter has a laptop and she likes to edit videos and she's doing this film course. So that's a little different. But like, as far as like tablets and phones, I can keep mm-hmm. them off of it, even if that's something that maybe I have a hard time for myself. But I find it to be a struggle to have to deal with using my time wisely with screens to the point where I don't feel bad if I just say no to the kids, even though, you know, I've tried ditching the smartphone altogether, and I've done that. I had no mm-hmm. smartphone for 5 months, and just logistically mm-hmm. it was so hard. Mm-hmm. Like, I couldn't function mm-hmm. in society. And so right. I do things like hard. You, like yeah. I remove apps, like take off the email app that's totally. Not on my phone right now. Right. Instagram's not on my phone right now. I've never had TikTok. So I do those kind of things. But I do want to say, if you feel like you struggle with it, doesn't mean your kids have to struggle with it too.
Yeah, I think what I was getting at is there's kind of just this attitude, and then they imitate. They're just going to imitate what we do. Like, my toddler walks around with it's a magnet tile that's a rectangle. And he'll just like play mm-hmm. with the rectangle, and you're like, that's your phone, isn't it?
Yeah. Yes,
I know it is.
Right.
And it's not that that's bad. I mean, you know, dad has a phone for work. Mom has a phone. Like, these exist. I'm not saying that they shouldn't exist. But I think we can kind of look at our own attitudes and our own habits and see, like, how are they forming us toward where we want to be? And like, are there some things that we can do to curb it so that it's not going to disrupt the atmosphere of the home? I mean, that's really what we want, is to just be learning and growing. And like you said, like, we're always changing. I totally considered
dropping my smartphone for a dumb phone. And I thought about it. I was like, you know what? I could just delete like these three apps and just check my email like twice a day and I'd be good.
Yeah. Yes. I have found that to be way more effective. Then you still have your maps and your texts and all of the things that people just expect you to have. And it makes it like, you know, just impossible to function in society.
Well, even just communicating with grandma and grandpa, I mean, that's just, it becomes like this huge barrier, mm-hmm. you know, anyway, when they live across the country, you know, just, I need to have more self-control and then we can utilize this technology and not let it, that's the thing. We don't want it to master us and we don't want it to master our children. We want them to be free and also to be self-controlled. So how are we helping them get there and how are we challenging ourselves to also be self-controlled? So, you know, like you said, you're always kind of reevaluating and trying to figure out, okay, this isn't bad. This screen, it's not bad, but what place do I want it to have? And how can we figure that out? And that's, again, kind of what I walk through in the screen-free guide to the outdoor life of children, is just encouraging moms on their journey to think through those things. And I don't even talk about like deleting apps or anything. It's more just, what are our attitudes? What are our practices? And then how are those things shaping us? And then what are some of those life-giving ideas that we want to bring in to our homes that will help us support our children as they're growing and as we're trying to help them be formed and trying to nurture their souls? Because we don't want them to, you know, think of a childhood that is never exposed to the outdoors. Think of a child who never gets to see a seed get planted and then sprout into a little seedling and then grow into a bean or whatever it can be. I mean, that is, it's magic. I mean, it makes me think of Jack and the Beanstalk every time we plant a seed. I'm like, yes. And he put the magic seed in and then all of a sudden it was taller than his house. I'm like, Jack, I feel you. Yes, it is magic. You're sticking that seed in the ground and that thing is going, you know? So just seeing that there is a magical component to the outdoor world, there is so much to explore and see. And if we can't see those things, if we don't think that they're interesting, then it's on us to figure out why and to consider, you know, we don't need to have a homestead. You know, I certainly don't have one, but I love keeping a garden and I would love to have animals, but my husband doesn't like animals. So I've got children instead.
Yeah. Yes. Their children are a lot more work. So
yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well then tell us all where we can find you and your resources that you've mentioned throughout this episode and what aids you have in getting kids outside more.
Absolutely. So the free resource I have is the Screen Free Kids Get Outside Nature Challenge. And that's available on the link on my website at naturestudyhacking.com. And on that website too, I have nature study resources. So they are subject specific. So mammals, insects, cultivated crops and weeds, wildflowers. It kind of goes by each subject that you can check out there. And then we also have a podcast, the Naturalist Kids Podcast. They actually go along with the guides. Oh, so it's cool. Kind of the folklore and the stories that are around, you know, like we did one on cats. And then it kind of tells you the stories of the cat and how we think of, you know, a black cat crossing your path, you know, those types of folk tales. We go into those a little bit. And then I do have a YouTube channel. It's at Joy Cherick. And that's where I share more of kind of my homeschooling life and more inspiration for getting outside. And the guide that I mentioned today is the Screen-Free Guide to the Outdoor Life of Children, and it's Inspiration for the Mother Teacher. And that's also in my shop. So that was a lot.
Okay, well, we will leave links to all of this in the show notes and also in the description box, depending on if you're watching this over on YouTube or if you're listening on Apple Podcasts. Sometimes people have a hard time finding show notes. So we also do, if you go over to simplefarmhouselifepodcast.com, we have a little post for each episode where we leave basically whatever would be in the show notes. So you can get all of the links to all of this that you mentioned. So those are all the places that you can find this. They should be able to find it now. There's a lot of ways.
Cool. Thank you.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Joy, for joining us.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
All right. Well, thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Simple Farmhouse Life podcast, and I will see you in the next one.